morning, and welcome to worship today. I'm Catherine Pluck Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and it is great to be with you this morning. We look forward to a wonderful day of worship and are grateful for the offering of our bell choir. There was a choir festival here this weekend, and this entire space was filled with bell choir tables, and they practiced and performed together, and it was just a wonderful experience. We'll hear some more from the bells later today. Again, we're glad you're here, and if you're here for the very first time, I hope that you will make sure and fill out a connection card for us. You'll find that in your bulletin, and please share as much information as you are comfortable providing. If you're here on a regular basis, I still hope you'll fill out the connect card and let us know that you are here. It is very helpful for us to get connected and stay connected with you, and we sure do appreciate it. You know, as we worship, the phrase comes to mind, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And my prayer for you is that you will rejoice and be glad in it today, and that all week, as you live your daily life, you will be reminded of that as well. Here at Trinity, we are so glad that everyone is here, and we want to welcome you home. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Introduce yourself if you don't know them, please.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by joining in our opening hymn.
Gracious God, we thank you for having gathered us here this morning in your presence, and we pray that as we worship, that you mold us and shape us into the people and the church that you created and are calling us to be. We offer this time to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. And let us affirm our faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. I'd like to invite Frank Moses and Professor John Brown, the provost from West Africa Theological Seminary, to join me on the pulpit here to share with you about this morning's mission moment.
Thanks, Aaron. 8 years ago, a group of about 15 of us from Trinity went to Lagos, Nigeria to see firsthand the wonderful work that God is doing at West African Theological Seminary. This morning I'd like to introduce you, it's my pleasure to introduce John Brown, earned PhD from Emory, the honorific professor is the thing to say in Africa, but more importantly, he's the provost and the leader of West Africa Theological Seminary, and I'd like us to welcome him warmly. And I'd also like you to support the mission box as you can. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I bring to you greetings from West Africa Theological Seminary. I'm here to reconnect with you and to say thank you for supporting the seminary. The seminary is doing wonderful things, and this is an opportunity for all of us to key in for the Great Commission. The greatest need for the church in Africa is the training of manpower and discipleship. And we are also trying to key into things that are challenging the church. Now we have the issue of terrorism. You must have heard of Boko Haram kidnapping kids from schools. And the pastors are faced with the challenges of handling such issues. Therefore, I am here to say thank you for the support. And we are also encouraging the training of women. The women in Africa have been left behind. And now we are saying your support from here will allow us to train more women. Because to train one pastor in the U.S. will cost about $30,000 to $40,000. But that can train exactly 30 pastors in 1 year. So you can see what we are doing. Therefore, I use this time to say thank you for your support, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Trinity has a long history of supporting theological education around the world, and as Frank said, our support of West Africa Theological Seminary began about 8 years ago. The mission box, or the wooden boxes that you see as you leave, that is an offering that we give to support ministries beyond the walls of our own church, and we do invite you to give generously this morning as you are able, and we appreciate it very much. And thank you for being here, sir. We appreciate it. Let us turn now to a time of prayer together where we will unite our hearts. You see on the screen the names of those folks who are receiving support from our congregational care team. Your prayers avail so much, and so please keep these folks in your prayers throughout the week. I know that you have all come here this morning with different joys and different concerns of your own that you would like to offer to God in prayer. I invite you to speak to those in the quiet of your heart as we enter into a moment of silence. I will be praying a litany for the church and the world this morning. With each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and I invite you to respond. Hear our prayer. But let us pray together. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have the opportunity now to present our gifts to God, to offer our tithes and our financial giving as a means of partnering with one another to support the ministries God is calling Trinity to here in Gainesville and beyond. So let us worship God with offering. And we pray for us. God, we thank you that you are the giver of every good thing that we enjoy in life. And it is our joy and our privilege to give back to you now from what you have given us. We pray that you receive these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, that you multiply them, and above all, that you have your will and your way with them so that we might bring forth your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.
The music that the bell choir will be ringing this morning as our offering will be Grazioso. This piece was written as a memorial to a bell choir member who passed away, not from our church, but from another. In the music, the composer tried to tell the story of this person's life. You can hear at the beginning her strong life. You can hear, if you listen, you will hear the music change as he portrays as she's dying. And then as the angels come and take her to heaven. And then the fortissimo or loud part of the end shows us the hope and joy of the resurrection. So please be in prayer as we offer Grazioso.
sometimes music preaches a sermon all by itself. Thank you, Bells. That was wonderful. I just want to express my appreciation to Dr. John Brown for being here today as well. We're so glad to have you with us and look forward to a generous offering to support what's going on at West Africa Theological Seminary. John, we had a chance to meet this morning just before worship, and John spoke with Catherine and I about coming at some time in the future and visiting and teaching at the seminary there. And so I'm going to say to you now, here's the deal. We'll come, one of us will come and do that as long as you promise to come back and preach here with us. Deal? All right, good. Today we continue our series in worship along the theme of deeply rooted, and we find our text for the day in the Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter beginning with the 25th verse. Hear now these words. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry. That refrain shows up time and time again in our passage this morning. And yet in the context of the lives and the world in which we live, perhaps that is not so easy to hear or believe. Certainly for children and villagers living in Nigeria, the threat of terrorism is real. The danger and the risk of children being pulled out of their villages and classrooms and kidnapped is real. And here in our own country, the threat of violence is ever present. And as we reflect back just on recent days here in Florida, the danger is real. And so those words, don't worry, can ring hollow. Perhaps even sound a little Pollyanna-ish. In the wake of shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, there are things that we think we should worry about. Things that might even keep us up at night. So as we look at this passage today and Jesus calling us to not worry, it's important that we set the context for the passage. The Greek word that is used here and in other places in the New Testament is the word merimnao. Merim now, a word that can be translated worry or care or anxious, anxiety. But it's clear as we look at some other places in the New Testament where this word is used that Jesus is not making a blanket statement about worries and cares and anxieties. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, for example, in the 7th chapter, when Paul is giving instruction and encouraging that perhaps it would be better for people to remain single so that they could be more focused on the work of God in his particular context, he says, I want you to be free from anxieties, merim now. But then he says, the unmarried man is anxious, again, merim now, about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. Clearly, just from that one verse, we can see that it's not that there's nothing that should worry us. And then if we go to chapter 12 in that same letter, 1 Corinthians 12:25, when he is offering the illustration of the people of God as the body of Christ, he says that it should be so and it should be arranged in such a way that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care or worry. Again, the word used there is merim now, for one another. Clearly then, when we come to today's passage, when Jesus says, don't worry, he is not making a blanket statement that there is nothing that should worry or concern us. It's just that we need to pay attention to where we focus our cares, our attention. So in this particular place in Scripture, we are in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew. And earlier in this chapter, throughout this chapter, we hear and see Jesus addressing things that people do to keep up appearances in his day. Jesus talks about the danger of giving to the poor in such a way that you try to make it showy so that everybody sees what you are doing. He talks about the way in which people pray loud enough and with big enough words for people to pay attention and to applaud or recognize them for those prayers. And then he calls attention to the way in which people fast. And apparently, what was practiced, at least by some in the day, was putting on such a miserable face and appearance that everyone would notice that you were fasting when you were fasting. And then after talking about each of those things, Jesus comes to the place of addressing their attachment to wealth, to the things of this world and this life, at the expense of paying attention to the things of the kingdom. And so in the middle of all of this, it is here in chapter 6 as well, that Jesus has given them a model for praying, a way to orient their hearts and their lives, what we say nearly every week here as the Lord's Prayer. So all of this is in the background. All of this has just been communicated by Jesus. When we get to the beginning of our passage today, verse 25, and it's clear that we are now reaching the point of a decisive statement, what Jesus has been moving toward in terms of a conclusion, because the first word in this passage is, therefore. Therefore. And in all of this passage, and in all of the context behind it, Jesus seems to be addressing the not. N-O-T-S, that get people all tied up in worry over the things that need not keep us up at night. So let's name some of those knots that often tie us up in worry in our own lives, in our own context. And the reality is that a lot of them for us are not simply knots, but not enough.
We worry about having not enough to keep up or to be happy. Not enough car, not enough house, not enough boat, not enough land, not enough friends. We worry that there will be not enough for both you and me. So we scramble to make sure that we at least get our share and we protect our little corner of the world because of our worry and anxiety over a world of scarcity rather than a world of abundance, and making sure that we get our piece of the proverbial pie. And then there are all those things in which we have to fill in the blank for ourselves when it comes to the worries that tie us up. Not blank enough. For example, not good enough. Not smart enough. Not pretty enough. Not handsome enough. Not well liked or promoted or accomplished or fast or funny enough. You can probably fill that blank in with a few of your own worries, things that perhaps even keep you up at night but need not do so. Not blank enough. In reflecting on this passage from Matthew 6, one commentator says this: what our hearts desire is to really count for something. And so what happens to us is that we tie ourselves up in knots, worrying about the things that we think, or we presume, or at least the world tells us, will make us count, will make us matter in the lives of others around us. And it is to all of this that Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about all of that. Don't worry about all of that stuff. Don't worry about all those appearances that you think you need to keep up with. Don't worry about that. And thank goodness Jesus doesn't stop there. Have you ever had somebody tell you, don't do this or don't do that, but then they just kind of leave you there and you're wondering, well, if I'm not supposed to do that, then what do I do? Frustrating when people tell you all the things that you shouldn't do, but aren't kind enough to then go on and say, offer some suggestions about what you can do. That can leave us feeling paralyzed or defeated. No, Jesus doesn't stop by saying, don't worry. Jesus continues. He sets the order and the priority for us. Seek first. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And if we're paying attention here, we see that in this moment, Jesus is pointing back to the prayer that he has just taught them a little earlier in this sermon. We all remember how that prayer begins, don't we? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Seek first God's kingdom, God's righteousness. Begin by focusing on God and God's purposes, not our own wants and our own worries. Because that's the way to orient our lives around what God wants to do in us and through us and for us. And then he says, these things will be added. certainly Jesus isn't saying in that moment all the things that we thought we wanted or all the things that we thought we needed to do or be or try or acquire in order to matter, in order to count. Here again, we can imagine Jesus pointing us back to that prayer. Having asked for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done first and foremost, having hallowed God's name, then we turn our attention to the things within our lives that matter. And they are so simple and so basic. Daily bread. Enough bread just for today. Not for tomorrow and not for next week and not for 10 years from now, but give us daily bread. And forgiveness. Because we all need forgiveness. And the strength to face temptation. Because in this life we will be tempted. We will be tempted to make the wrong choice. To take the path that God does not desire for us. And so therefore, to also pray for deliverance from evil. That we will orient and shape our lives around the good and not around the evil things of this world. We even say that in our baptismal liturgy. You reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sins. Put your whole trust in God's grace. Now, here again, in order not to sound too Pollyanna-ish, we must confess that this does not happen instantaneously. It's not a snap of the fingers. It's no midnight magic that we go to bed one night with all kinds of worries and then wake up the next day with none. But here's what I will tell you, and here's what I believe Jesus is telling us in this passage. If you want to starve your worry, feed your faith. If you want to starve your worry, feed your faith. Because the deeper we go, the more we will know that God's grace is sufficient enough to meet us in all of our needs. Eugene Peterson puts the end of this passage this way. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all of your everyday human concerns will be met. Steep your life in the things of God. I invite you to put that into practice this week. And if you're not sure where to start, if you've never invested in that, may I suggest to you that you read the letter to the Philippians this week. It's a short letter in the New Testament. Read the letter to the Philippians this week and begin each day with just a few moments of prayer. Steep your life in God reality. Because the deeper you go, the more you will know. See what God will do. In prayer. Oh God, the grace that we need, the strength that we need, the peace that we want.
dare not come to this table trusting in our own goodness, but we come trusting in God's mercy and love for each and every one of us. For we know that Jesus calls us and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We come to this table because God created each one of us, because God loves each one of us, and because God's love for us is always enough and never fails. We remember that God came in Jesus Christ to be with us and to show us that love and grace and remind us that God is enough, that God's grace is sufficient for each one of us. And God in Jesus Christ loves us and gives us all that we need. So telling us to seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be ours as well. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And again, he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to the disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so we come to this table, offering ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Say that with me. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And now we pray that you would make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and join us up the healing benches. Here in Trinity in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place of welcome for all. So we invite you to come forward, come to the servers in front of your section. You'll come forward out the left side of your row and return by the right. You'll cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, take that and dip it into the cup, and then you're welcome to spend as much time as you like at the healing benches in prayer. We also have gluten-free over on the sides, and please just ask your server, and they would be happy to get that for you. I invite you to come and to remember that God's grace is sufficient, and there is always enough love for you. Please come. Pray with me. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, this meal in which you have given yourself for us. We pray that we may go out into the world mindful that there is always enough, because there is always enough love for us. We don't need to worry about the cares of this world, but instead rest in your love and care for us, because your eye is always on the sparrow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Please stand if you're able and join me in singing our closing hymn.
As you leave today, I hope that you will take an opportunity to meet our special guest. I'm going to invite Dr. Brown to join me at the back, and so that you can offer a word of greeting of your own on your way out. Again, so glad that you are with us today. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ untie the knots of worry in your life. And may the love of God free you for faithful following. And may the power of the Holy Spirit give you the strength to do so.